You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hey guys, Chris here. Here's a shout out to all our subscribers. You're what keeps OneOfUs.net up and running. And we've got so much coming for you, including more video versions of the reviews and shows, commentaries, and, because it seems like a lot of you may not always check the front page, contests all the time for subscribers to win big prizes. Like right now, we've got the complete Twilight Zone on Blu-ray, up to win for one lucky Time Lord or above subscriber. And I'm doing this. I'm extending the contest date till the second week of February. More time to enter, more time to win, and new contests will be going live next week. Keep your eye on the front page of OneOfUs.net for regular new chances for us to say thank you to the subscribers who keep us running. About this character, Christian Grey, that are despicable. But I think the most despicable thing about him is that he has all that money and that physique and those looks and, like, parental problems from his past, and he's not Batman!
No,
you're wasting all your time with this sort of, like, vanilla S&M shit. It's like, oh, come into the red room with lots of things we will never actually use.
But they're there to look at.
I mean, this guy...
And wonder about.
S&M-wise, this is the equivalent of pink fuzzy handcuffs, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
Like, I mean, the last movie was accused of a lot of being very vanilla. Literally, she's like all this big lead up to like the S&M, and then you finally do it, and literally light spanking, and she's like, "You bastard!"
Was it more exciting than this? Because this just lay flat. I was so bored during this whole thing.
I'm sure if it was more exciting, I think the first movie was like. The first movie was made by not as good as a filmmaker. I mean, we've actually got James Foley here, who directed some pretty fucking good movies, like Glengarry Glen Ross, for God's sakes.
How the mighty have fallen.
Coffee is for closers, James, and you did not close on this one, I don't tell you. It's slicker, to be sure.
Yeah.
The first movie, more of the, like, oh my god, this is so ridiculously dumb, shines through, and so on that level, it's more enjoyable.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. I heard it was just kind of, like, goofy, so someone could laugh at it, whereas this... So that's what I was hoping this would be.
They were so determined to make a, like, straight, like, you know, I mean, it's just a... It's Red Shoe Diaries, man.
Yeah.
It's, like, the tiniest bit of kink.
The more earnest they tried to get, the funnier it became to me, anyways.
And what little bits of things they put in here... I can't believe they actually described in the notes here, this one's more of a thriller. I'm like, really? Really? I mean, this movie is half people having sex, and the other half is people getting in and out of cars.
Bad sex. I never thought I'd be so, like, bored looking at sex.
Yeah.
But, gee, oh, my
God. I wouldn't even say half sex. There's maybe like two or three sex scenes, and it feels more just like, well, that's what people come to this for.
Two or three really long sex scenes and seven or eight.
It felt like every other one was a montage set against some forgettable song.
The songs are so bad. Yeah. Okay, that was my biggest bugger with this movie. Is like, it's not even like hot R&B. It's just these weird thumping bass tracks.
Yes.
And I'm just like, this is not working.
The people were grooving to. The gals in my row were like,
just like,
singing along to it. I was like, okay.
I was lucky the girls sitting behind me were like just narrating the whole movie.
So
they're just like, oh my God, girl, you better do it.
I was getting more entertainment from them.
Okay, so I was like two rows behind you guys. And so we're talking about the ones that were right directly behind you.
Mm-hmm.
They were on margaritas. They had margaritas.
Okay.
The ones behind me had Everclear.
Oh, boy.
And
whole nother story.
Yeah, seriously. And my plus one was like, oh, do you want a cider? I stuck him in. Yes, give me a fucking cider, please.
There's such a disconnect even listening to women watching this movie who are there, you know, presumably because they either enjoyed the books or this is the kind of thing they actually enjoy.
Yeah.
As you go through it, and they're like, oh, yeah, girl, take those panties off from him. Yeah. And then the very next scene, they're like, oh, you better tell that boy to fuck off. Don't you leave him. I'm like, which is it?
Yeah, it's such a weird in-between. I tried, like, obviously straight male can't speak to what women like.
Sure.
But even just, like, watching this, I'm like, Magic Mike makes, I get Magic Mike mm-hmm. because it's like, there's talent in that and it's actually fun and it's kind of, I don't know, it's more freeing, it feels more free, whereas this is kind of like, this is not something you would want.
Well, because this no, is like...
Well, that was more like an inside look. Well, I haven't seen Magic Mike. It's the only Soderbergh film I haven't seen, actually.
Yeah, Magic Mike's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I like both of them. I think they're a lot of fun.
I'm less excited about the second one. First one's pretty good. Although I remember a lot of people here, a lot of people like who went in expecting something more like this came out disappointed because it's actually a pretty good little Soderbergh character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
anyway, the problem is that this film, unlike the first one where you're like, at least you can openly hate Christian Grey for being like just this abusive prick. This movie is like supposed to be like the redemption of Christian Grey. It's basically in the end of the last movie, Dakota Johnson's character and Anastasia Steele, which is, I'll give this writer credit, one of the best names for a character ever.
It is a cool name.
Yeah. They should have their own comic adventure, Steele and Grey, and just go.
Steele and Grey, yeah.
I kept going every time he like got mad at somebody. I was like, you have failed this city.
Hopefully it'll make them a little bit interesting. This is the most unappealing couple I've ever seen on a big screen.
Supposedly, they don't much care for each other in real life, supposedly.
Oh, really?
That's what I hear. Yeah.
I can tell that when they're having conversations.
Yeah.
Air quotes around conversations.
But like, so she leaves him because like, well, oh God, you actually spanked me, you bastard. And it's because like he wants to literally own her, like to make her, call him master and her to be a slave. And this is just not who this girl is. So he comes back into her life and is like, I promise I'm done with all of that. I only want you. Seriously, whatever you want, we'll do it. And almost immediately is just like doing super creepy, like stalker stuff.
Doesn't he say that thinking that, well, maybe she's going to be into it this time. She'll ask for it herself.
Right.
She kind of does.
I mean, I'll give this movie credit. Like he starts off and we're like, we're just going to watch the same fucking movie. And it really turns into her dominating him completely and going like, no.
Which like, I think is much more interesting and somewhat empowering than they give the Anastasia a lot more power. And it's just funner to watch in her kind of pushing his limit and seeing where that goes. But then the movie just kind of...
equal level playing field.
It's like, I don't know if I'd say more fun. It's certainly more
less disturbing.
Acceptable.
Less disturbing.
Disturbing. Yeah. Like you're almost like, okay, well, you're redeeming yourself a little bit here. But at the same time, I'm like still... icked out by, you know, like one of the minor moments of drama in this fucking thing is one of his ex-submissives, played by Bella Heathcote, shows up.
And gorgeous Bella Heathcote. I'm a Bella Heathcote.
I thought we were watching, like, there was a ghost plot here for a while because she's all disheveled and pale and she appears and disappears. And you're like, is there a dead lover in his past that's now coming together?
What drove me nuts about this film is that there's essentially three villains and they're each given two scenes each.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll fear you next.
Low Fuel's also a villain. Let's not forget about that.
She shows up and, like, his way when he finally has to confront her is so fucking creepy. You're like, but I mean, like, I admit, I'm like, you know, I'm the most annoying type of straight cis male, and I'm just like, I don't like, I'm so myself, Milquetoast and vanilla in my sex life. I'm like, whatever. There are people who both willingly get into the master and slave thing, fine, but still comes across creepy watching this movie. But even so, that whole thing leads up to nothing. And like, and then the other thing, Dakota has got a job now working as the assistant to a guy who's like a book
editor.
He's a
book
publisher editor. Or something.
Yeah.
Of course she does. Of course she has that job. Yeah. totally.
Who like, right off the bat, you can tell he's going to be creepy just the way he's checking out.
There's no subtlety to it at all.
Was Jennifer Eale in this?
I'm sorry. Jennifer Eale was Anastasia's mom.
Was she in the background?
I don't remember seeing her once in this whole thing.
In the masquerade ball or something?
I don't think so. I don't.
No, she was never once.
Maybe she was a filmed
deleted
and
scene.
Deleted. Yeah. But yeah, this you've got that whole thing and that like turns creepy and that is apparently what the entire third movie is about whenever that we have to suffer through that fucking thing. the other one and the most fun just because it's the campiest, it's when this movie goes full dynasty.
Yes.
Is Kim Basinger playing
an embarrassingly miscast Kim Basinger.
Yeah, well, you see why, because she got her career was a huge boost in that movie 9 and a Half Weeks, which was this like ooh kinky sex button, the theatrical release film.
This is Michelle Pfeiffer sloppy seconds. Like she totally. Michelle Pfeiffer turned this down, and Kim Basinger was like, I'll do it. Give me a job.
Totally.
Is there a check?
Yeah, she's the referenced in the first film. The older woman who basically taught Christian Grey to stop being such a juvenile delinquent and instead put all his energies into being into a master-slave and sadism-type relationships, and then totally fucked him up in her own way as well.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they're still friends and business partners. And so
what business?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Well, is that the hair salon?
I mean, the dude is Bruce Wayne, let's face it. Like, literally, any place they go into, he's like, yeah, I own that. Yeah, I own that, too. Yeah,
I bought that last week.
Gas out.
Yeah. she's like, spends the movie coming up to Dakota Johnson and going, he'll never love you. Yeah. That culminates in the only scene worth watching in this entire fucking movie.
Best side eye in the game.
Oh my gosh. Jeez.
Yeah, she just gives this side eye that had the whole movie theater cracking up laughing. It was so corny. Like
that, yeah, it is. For its camp value, I mean, that you can't beat that, really.
You have to give it something, and that's the moment I was like, okay, that did it.
She's not a dumb woman. She said yes to like, Confidential. She knew what she was getting into here.
There were only two big laughs in this whole movie. One was that, and which I know it's not a comedy, but come on, what else did we go to it for?
This is like probably one of the best comedies of the year so far.
And the other is,
I bet you this will be funnier than Fistfight.
That could be true. The other is when they go into his childhood bedroom, and there's a poster for the Chronicles of Narnia on the wall. And that caught the whole audience was laughing about that, too.
Because the way the scene is framed is just like there behind the entire conversation.
Why would they pick that movie?
I love it because of the randomness of it, because so much about his past and his childhood is like so nondescript. Everything that he has, like, you know, if he had like a book on there, there'd be like a blank cover. I mean, but then you saw the fucking Chronicles of Riddick posters.
He's got participation trophies, random UFC posters.
Right. His mom's picture.
Which establish, every girl he's dated looks a lot like his mom. Yeah. So clearly, that's what it's the problems with my mom. That's why I must be the knight. Sorry, that would. I'm just so fucking bored during this movie. That's where my mind was going. I mean, like, there's a whole thing with, like, he's in a helicopter and for no reason.
That reaches Tommy with so level writing.
Crashes in the woods, and I was like, earlier we're making Batman jokes, and I turned to Martin. I'm like, oh no, he's Green Arrow. I thought he was Batman the whole time. He's going to be Green Arrow because he crashed in the woods like in the Longbow Hunters.
Fastest recovery to a character tragedy in a film I've ever seen.
Oh, literally. Like, they're like watching the news. Like, they're like, they've been discovered to be okay, which he opens the door to his house and comes in during it. And you're just like, what?
The whole theater was just like, what?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I was like, I told my plus one, I was like, I guess we got to keep things moving along, man. I mean, jeez.
They realized that they were coming up on that 2-hour runtime, which feels way too long.
Yeah, it does.
Oh my god, yeah, 118 minutes is way, way too long for a film where essentially nothing really happens.
No,
it is just a Harlequin romance with like even lighter S&M than the last movie. Just silly. Like, not even, it's not sadism or S&M on any level. It's like,
it's just milquetoast.
Super light bondage.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes. It has, her hands are tied twice, and it's like, oh
with
gosh.
With a silk scarf.
Yeah, I know. Oh god. You can't escape that, can you?
It's like them having not even big fights. Like, little couple fights, and you're like, what the fuck are we watching this for?
But everything they do, whether they fight, they go have dinner, they make up, everything is like with sex.
And they get in and out of cars a lot. Like
yeah,
I said,
do.
I don't know what this director is fascinated with people getting in and out of cars just over and over and over again. Just like, we got to make sure we show the scene where they get out of the car.
Different angles.
And for some reason, his limo is like a Japanese hybrid. I don't know what that is.
I think it's so when she finally refuses to not get in the car, we feel that weight. We feel that gravitas.
Yeah. I love that product placement for what was it? Was it a piano? What was that Italian like thing? It's just like it was like a shot that was just on the piano. It's him and the piano. The label is like right next to him. He's like his arm is on. I was like, okay, yes,
I get it. Product placement for the super rich who can afford grand pianos. I don't know.
And who really love Chronicles of Riddick.
Is there anyone other than maybe Vin Diesel who really loves the Chronicles of Riddick?
Oh, well, Judy Dench loved it one time.
And then Marcia Gay Harden is in here playing his mom. Who she's a wonderful actress, I believe. Academy Award nominated actress. And you're like,
what, winning?
Winning actress. Yeah. And you're like, man, you are giving it all you got to be like good, but you have almost nothing to do here except to just turn to the audience and go, don't worry, I'm a nice character. Yes. Right from the get-go. You don't have to worry about me doing anything shitty. I'm someone you can count on.
Maybe
you
want to go home and watch The Mist. To be honest with you.
Right.
Well, I love that movie.
I don't know. I'm just final thoughting this thing and saying that, like, I never thought I would get so bored of watching a beautiful woman naked. And boy, is she. Do you know something? Fucking Christian Grey never takes his pants down the entire, like, fucking movie. Every time they have sex, he only unzips. And then you're like, what is that?
We saw Half Crack once.
I mean, like, there's a couple times he's walking around naked like that. But, like, for some reason, when they're having sex, he's always like, yeah, it's just like where they're barely, you know, and you're like, what? I'm not requesting to see his ass. It just seems a little weird. Was that a ratings issue?
I don't think it is. Well, I mean, I think having the word, actually, I know that having the word, just having the word cocksucker in your movie will get you an R rating. Can I say that? Sorry.
Well, we are R rated. It's fine.
Okay.
She does say butt in this movie. I laughed at that.
No, I mean, this is rated R. So, you know, I mean, like, it has to be. She's naked through a gigantic portion of it.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's a point where like, every time they would start to have sex, she would rip her shirt open and I would just go,
There we go.
Yeah,
right.
Oh my God! Please, there they are. Please let this be one of the short ones. Seriously, this is just so dull.
It is
there's
so
nothing
dull.
Here. Every bit of drama in this is like they'll go, "Oh, there's drama." And now it's over.
How can you tell when the drama starts and the comedy ends?
It's too boring to be very funny. That's why the tiny little bits that were funny seemed funnier than they probably actually were. Because most of it is just...
We're hunting for things to laugh.
Snooze-inducing. This is just bad movie. And I got to say, I mean, like, you get a good director like James Foley who clearly is doing this for the paycheck. I mean, there's no way he's passionate about this material. But he does a classier job as a filmmaker on a technical level than the previous film was, but it's still not good. The screenplay, by the way, written by the original writer's husband.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Which yet somehow is still better than her original book in terms of, you know, you don't have those astonishingly bad lines like in the books where you're like, what? What? How did this get published? There's even a bit where, like, they're publishing it, just like, oh, we really should start looking at people writing on the internet with lots of fans. This is the future of publishing. I'm like, wow,
someone inspired by Twilight. I mean,
self plug, because that's how this started. Anyway, this my part of this review is ending. I give this. 1.5. Jesus, Danny Elfman to the music.
That got me.
He was clearly not trying.
Everybody is just, you know, wanted a new house somewhere.
1.5 out of 10 of the most comfortable, fuzzy, satiny, plush nipple clamps you've ever worn.
Those did look pretty painful. Is it me? Okay.
Yeah, it's you.
You know, God, I went into this with no, like, context other than everyone knows the basic plot, I think, going to this movie, whether you've seen the first one or not. And I was bored the entire time. Every time, whether a character was, you know, talking or screwing, I was looking, like, look at the cityscape. I think, is that really Seattle? Is that that building? And whenever Jamie Dornan had his shirt off, I'm thinking, dude, why don't you just have those burns removed? You know, it was just...
You are like the richest guy on the planet.
Yes, you can have some surgery. I thought this was mind-numbingly dull. Unintentionally funny. I don't think I have a single recommendation or high point to say about this film. Although, the one time I actually genuinely laughed for something that I found really endearing... which nobody else caught in the theater, was Dakota Johnson's ode to her mother's most famous film, Working Girl, in which she has the same conversation with her now, like, sort of new secretary that her mother had, her mother's character had in that film with her secretary, which I thought was a very sweet moment in that film and was a nice little tip of the hat here. So for that reason and that reason alone, I am going to give this film 2 out of 10 Kim Basinger. Do better.
And even that's being kind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's being generous.
Yeah, it's very, very generous.
Okay, so,
John's like, what's left to mop up?
Yeah, it's just, I, I was hoping that there would be something, like, redeemable in this movie, because men are going to get sweet-ass John Wick, the families are going to get Lego Batman, and I really thought, like, the female crowd really needs a good movie. They deserve a good movie.
But this will hit the right audience that's meant to. I mean, this will be for fans, and fans...
All I can tell you is one of our reviewers is a female named Patience, and she said John Wick 2 was that movie for her.
Yeah.
She's like, this is the movie for the ladies, trust me.
But yeah, it is just dull. It's just boring. It's 30 minutes too long. How do you?
I thought it was 180 minutes too long.
How do you make sex just so dull? It's not shot well. It doesn't. The subject matter of S&M is not even taken advantage of. It's just like we noted. Let's put some handcuffs once or twice. That'll be fun. Like that'll get people going. It's just. I've really got nothing.
It's a baton with straps, isn't it?
And there's it's just bad. It's just bad, and I'm sorry about that. I give it 2 out of 10 gray ties.
You know, I do take back something I said earlier. There is real sadism in this movie. It's making critics sit through it.
Yes, exactly.
It's a thoroughly sadistic act. Clearly, they're enjoying our pain and suffering.
I actually enjoyed the crowd we saw this with more than I enjoyed the film.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was paying way more attention to the people chatting behind me and getting like just laughing and commenting on everything than I was the movie itself.
Yeah, yeah.
What could you do? They were better written.
Yeah, they had better lines.